Right now on the hotline, we are joined by our good friend Andrew Feinstein, DenverStiffs.com's founder, the lead Nugget website. And we have not spoken to Andrew, I don't believe, since the big trade. The Nuggets 16-5, of course. And confident enough today, at least the head coach confident enough, to declare a preference in the first round for Dallas as opposed to Oklahoma City. Andrew, first of all, good evening. Good to have you along with us once again.
Good evening, Sandy. Actually, the last time we spoke, the trade was happening while we were on the air.
That's exactly right. I had forgotten about that. It was on that very Monday night we were speaking, and the trade was going down even as we were speaking. Let's go back and refresh people's memory. People know what I thought of the trade then and have contended since. But your position, because I think we had the same sort of view regarding Carmelo down through the last several months that he wore a Nugget uniform. Are you surprised, shocked by how successful the Nuggets have been in the 21 games that have taken place since that trade was made?
I'm not shocked, but I would say very. How about very surprised? A hair below shocked. When the trade went down, I think you and I both agreed, as did most people who follow this team closely, it was the best possible trade given the circumstances.
Right.
And I felt like they were definitely going to make the playoffs, but I thought we were looking at a 7 or an 8 seed. Because remember, we were hanging on by a thread with New Orleans and Portland, and even Utah, I think, at the time, was nipping at our heels. And here we are a couple weeks later, and we are ensconced in the 5th seed. And I did not foresee that happening. Absolutely not.
And the individual players in this deal coming over, let's start with that. Who have you liked best of the four?
I like Mozgov the best because he's the only one of the four that I've actually gotten to talk to. he's a great kid. He's got a big heart. He speaks much better English than I think most fans realize. I think he has
speaks better English than we speak Russian. That's
well, for sure. Yeah, for sure. I know Niyet and Dasvidanya. That's the extent of my Russian. I think Mozgov has the biggest upside, but the guy that I like that I don't think people talk about a lot is Wilson Chandler. I like his defensive versatility.
Absolutely.
His length, his arm, his ratio of his arm length to his body is much longer than I thought it would be, and he can guard a power forward or a shooting guard. And I think that range is going to come in handy, especially when you have to go against these long, lean guys like Serge Ibaka and Kevin Durant and James Harden in the playoffs. So I like all four of them, but you know, Wilson Chandler has definitely surprised me a lot.
We have entertained the view on this show from time to time, not so much lately because the Nuggets have hung a few skins on the wall of late and within the last 2 weeks have taken out the number one, the number two, and the number three seed in the West. Tomorrow night, if they can bounce back and win at Oklahoma City, it'll be the one, two, three, and the four that they've defeated more or less within the last two and a half weeks, but some have still contended that there's an element of fool's gold in the 16-5 run, and the Nuggets will be exposed once the playoffs begin. They won't be able to translate everything they've done into playoff success. Do you buy that?
Well, I don't know if I buy that necessarily. I spoke with Coach Carl at the Kroenke Gala last week, and I said, Coach, you know, you're going to cut your rotation down to 7 or 8 like you're supposed to do in the playoffs. He said, I don't know where these rules come from. I'm going to play everybody. You know, the reason they're 16-5 is because they're playing everybody. And
exactly.
He said, there's no reason to change that. And I applaud him for that. That said, one thing scared me about that Oklahoma City game the other night. When the game was kind of ugly and the chips were down and we were trading baskets in the fourth quarter, who stepped up? It was Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook who got to the free throw line and made the big shots. And like him or hate him, that's what Carmelo Anthony did here for a long time. And unfortunately, no one was to be found in that circumstance on behalf of Denver. Now, maybe that was just a bad night. But this team has blown out a lot of teams. But they haven't been in a lot of these really tight situations with really good competition. And I'd like to know who's going to step up. Felton did it against the Lakers, but that's something that I'm a little concerned about in the playoffs.
But they did do it against San Antonio. I mean, that was a close game late. And the Dallas game was kind of funky. Didn't really have much of a finish over the last minute and a half to 2 minutes. But with a little more than 3 minutes to go, it was 94-94, and it turned out to be J.R. Smith last night, who was noticeably absent the previous night.
Yep. Well, J.R. is the guy, you know, actually it was remarkable that we beat the Lakers when we got such a nominal contribution from J.R. because
right.
J.R. has no fear against the Lakers. And this goes back a couple years now. And I've always thought that J.R., as mercurial and inconsistent as he is, and I'm sure he's a chore to coach, he is the guy that can step up in those situations. But to answer your question about fool's gold, I think we can beat the Mavericks. I think we can. I wish George hadn't said the things he said today.
Yeah, he was pretty explicit, wasn't he?
Well, and he said something else that I don't think you've touched on yet, but I have it. I have the quote in front of me. He said, the two things I would say is I wish Dallas would get to the free throw line more.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Score around the basket more. George, why are you telling them how to beat us? You know, let Dallas figure us out.
Yeah, I look at it in the sense that he's kind of sticking it to him a little bit. I mean, I'm sure Dallas is aware that it's 28th in the league in points in the paint and 26th in the league in free throws attempted. And George is making it seem like that's kind of a choice that they've made. I mean, I think he's giving them the needle a little bit. And maybe he figures, listen, I know the Dallas psyche. We played them in the playoffs 2 years ago. It's not going to hurt us. But, yeah, I mean, he was very specific in outlining exactly how the Nuggets might have an advantage. And, frankly, I asked him the same question the other day, and he was much more inclined to be equivocal about it and go, well, it's 52-48 one day, one way, 52-48 the other way. Now it's 55-45 in favor of playing Dallas, wishing to play Dallas, which is a lot more definitive than he was on Monday or Tuesday. I can't remember the day they played Oklahoma City, which I guess was Tuesday, wasn't it? So
well, this is
48 hours.
I'm going to wake up tomorrow and it's going to be 60-40, and
yeah.
then he's going to give them even more chalkboard material.
Yeah, yeah.
To steal George's own quote, he said, you know, in a lot of ways, I think their strengths are their weaknesses. I could say the same thing about Coach Carl. I love the fact that George has no filter, but sometimes that can bite us in the butt, so to speak.
All right.
And you know, like, for example, George, you know, couldn't help himself in the wake of Carmelo's departure. Needling Carmelo. Why do I think Carmelo is going to come into Denver and score 45 points next season and beat us? So sometimes you're better off, you know, not being, you know, definitive in your comments. But it is what it is. He said it. I wrote a column today for Denver Stiffs. I want to play Dallas. I don't want to play
right.
Oklahoma.
You agree
in the first round. I just don't want to give Dallas bulletin board, or what do they call it, chalkboard material.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't think anything he said wasn't true, but. You're right. I mean, this is a team. He made the point the other day. He said Oklahoma City is still very short on playoff experience. They've never won a playoff series. They're a favorite now. That might be a role that makes them uncomfortable. Dallas has, 500 games of collective playoff experience,
yeah.
Something like that, really, with Kidd and Nowitzki and Terry, you don't have to worry about an absence of playoff experience. We'll let you run on this, but you emailed me today and wanted to join in on a little bit of the debate we had last night, and this plays right into what we're talking about. George Karl as a playoff coach, and maybe that's part of your objection, that George's playoff record isn't so good that he should be opining on other teams' shortcomings in the playoffs. Just for the record, the current playoff mark for George stands at 74-93, 443 winning percentage, 15-26 here in Denver. We ought to remind people that last year, even though George was sidelined during the playoffs, those games go on his record.
That is the dumbest rule.
Which is dumb, but it does go on his record.
It is the dumbest rule. So I looked at the numbers today, and I'm excluding last year because I think that is such a stupid rule that when an assistant takes over, it counts for the head coach. But prior to that terrific run in 2009, George Karl has won one home playoff game as a Nuggets head coach prior to 2009. And again, my days of picking on George are over. I advocated for him to be extended. He has this. I think the best record that George has is the fact that he has coached 19 consecutive non-losing seasons.
Right.
That's an amazing record.
Amazing. Yes.
And I'm not sure George has anything left to prove, unless you would argue that you have to win a championship. But if you are what your record says you are, as a head coach with the Nuggets in the playoffs, excluding last year, which I don't think should count, he's 13-22. And, you know, I would love to see George, you know, exorcise some of those playoff demons from the past and win a first-round series this year, regardless of who the opponent is, because I'd like to see George's playoff record as in Denver certainly does not match up with his regular season record, and I'd like to see it bumped up a little bit.
But unless you do win championships, and I do mean multiple championships, you're almost inevitably going to have a mediocre record in the playoffs. For example, Lenny Wilkins, who won a championship, 80-98, 449,
right,
virtually identical to Carl's playoff record. Bill Fitch, who won a championship, 55-54, 505. Dick Motta, who won a championship in Washington with the Bullets, virtually the same record in the playoffs as George currently holds, 56-70, 444 winning percentage. Don Nelson, considered to be by some one of the top 10 coaches of all time, though he's never won a championship, 75-91 in the playoffs, percentage 452. Jerry Sloan, considered one of the great coaches over the last two decades in major professional sports, losing record in the playoffs overall, even with Utah, had 2-4 mark in his brief stint with Chicago, but overall 98-104, 485 winning percentage. My point being that I wouldn't necessarily put George in a different class, better or worse, than any of those five coaches. Several of them have championship rings. If you add up their total playoff marks, the collective percentage isn't really very much different from George's playoff record.
Well,
so they're mediocre to poor playoff coaches, too, if George is mediocre to poor.
I think George is actually a better coach than some of the guys on that list. I think, you know, Fitch and Wilkins and Nelson and Motta were the beneficiaries of longevity. So they racked up a lot of wins along the way. And one thing I mentioned to you in my email today, Sandy, you can't argue that George should have won any of the playoff series that he has lost here, because we didn't have home court advantage, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think the home team wins, what, like 85% of the time?
Right, and as we mentioned earlier, even with a 4-5 matchup over the last 6 years, it's two-thirds of the time that the four seed wins. And if ever there's going to be an example of the two teams that you'd figure would be closely matched, it's 4-5. It's still a disappointment if you lose with home court advantage in a 4-5 scenario. That was part of one of our callers' arguments last night. Oh, five beats a four all the time. So the Nuggets should be expected to win in the first round this year. And I countered by saying, even with all that was going on last year, people were very disappointed that the Nuggets lost that series, because you should be disappointed any time you lose in the NBA playoffs with home court advantage. I don't care what the matchup is.
You should, but I also think you should be disappointed when you lose home playoff games, even if you're not favored to win the series. And I think that to be 1-7,
that's fair.
The exception of that 2009 run,
right?
I was surprised, and then I looked back. I remembered, you know, we went into San Antonio and won Game One in both
twice
of those Spurs series
in 05 and 07,
and we couldn't beat them once at home,
right?
And that's a very disappointing record. And I'd like, look, I'm a George Karl fan, and I want George to be successful here. And I just would like to see him win the games that you're supposed to win, which are at least your home playoff games.
And maybe in this case this year, given the right first-round matchup, win a series that you're not supposed to win.
Well, exactly. And this year, I mean,
which hasn't happened to George a lot down through the years. I have to be honest about it. In the playoffs, he hasn't won many series that he wasn't supposed to win.
I'm not sure he's won. Yeah, I have to look.
Maybe
back.
Any.
I don't think,
you know, when you really look back,
that he was. Yeah, I don't think he's ever won a series where he was the lower seed and an underdog.
Right.
I don't think so.
Andrew, great stuff. We'll get you on before the playoffs. Appreciate your time tonight, as always.
Sandy, anytime. Have a good evening.
Thank you. That's Andrew Feinstein, DenverStiffs.com, the preeminent Nugget website, 303-228-1043. As Cleft Talk continues on Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.